It's Thursday, October 19th, 2023, and you're listening to episode 618 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 40 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Mary.
This is Mike.
And this is Wayne. Who are you, Mike?
I am Julie's husband, Mike. Some of you may know me from the Fear the Con, and probably from some, I'm sure, you know, stories that have been told by my wife that pay me only in a good light. So,
certainly.
Only and ever. Yeah, and once upon a time, you did have a podcast of your own.
That's true.
Yes.
Me and a couple of friends that, you know, rotated, just kind of similar to your guys' show.
I was definitely on it at least.
You were on it, Mary. Action Nerds Go, which is a long time past. We all, life got in the way. We had, you know, things that...
Yeah.
Yeah, I still to this day look at your wedding as the best wedding I've ever been to.
It's the best wedding I've ever been to, too.
I can't wait for their divorce, because I figure that the sequel, you know, they're going to take what they learned from the first one.
We'll go nuts at the divorce party.
Yeah. Sure. Obviously, you guys could even just divorce and remarry each other. I'm not, you know.
My aunt and uncle did that. They walked down the aisle in on Back in the Saddle Again was the song that they went back in.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a true story.
So that Elizabeth Taylor kind of ended the,
Yeah, okay. So eventually you rotate the Lazy Susan enough that the same Susan comes back around.
Go back basically. For round two.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, when two nerds get married, you know, you basically have got to either have to go traditional for your family's sake or just say, f*** it, and we're just going to do whatever we want. And that's what we did. So, yeah, it was Star Wars references and Harry Potter-ness and
fewer lightsabers than my first wedding, but...
Your wedding had a load of lightsabers. Yes, that's true. That was a fun wedding.
A fun wedding. Terrible marriage, but fun wedding.
My same way. Seriously, like, we had, and I'm not just saying this because it was mine, we had one of the best weddings and one of the best receptions I've ever been to.
Yep.
I regret everything else.
But right. That's
but, you know, hey. So, speaking of weddings and whatnot, this episode, we're going to talk about the value of low expectations. So we were kicking around a variety of things over dinner, as we are wont to do. And one of the things we came back to is how the world has changed post-COVID. This is not a COVID episode, all right? But if you look at things like the hours that restaurants keep, the hours that grocery stores keep, the amount of automation as opposed to actual labor, because there's an across-the-board shortage in the labor market, yet for demographic reasons, consumption is actually up. Usually consumption and employment are fairly tethered, but right now they're not. And I don't want to get too much into the economics of it, just because, one, some of it's political, and two, I'm not really an economics expert to begin with. But the point is that you can look around the world right now and see the ways in which things have changed, and I think the average person would say probably not for the better. Best case scenarios, you could just say they're different. But among those things, as we started talking about all the stuff going on and the reasons why our gaming has been interrupted individually, and I'm not even talking about the AP here, I'm just talking about the games that we normally play with our own distinct sets of friends, family, whatever, that sometimes overlap, sometimes don't, and why all of them right now are pretty heavily on the rocks, except for a small number that seem to be doing well because of the fact that we rewrote or drew down our expectations. And I know there's some people out there that are going to say, well, you know, everything's great for me right now in that regard. You know, my gaming group's solid. We love seeing each other. And if that's the case, great. Good for you. That I really am glad to hear that. Or some people are going to say, no, I'm real nitpicky about my gaming. If it won't be exactly how I want, then I'd rather not game at all. And I'm certainly not going to take the extreme position here that bad gaming is better than no gaming. But I will take the stance that I think maybe not quite what I'd always wanted is acceptable gaming. That it is better to be in a B+ game than to be in no game. I wouldn't say that down to like the D or F level. At that point, I'd be like, no, we're just, this is just a waste of my time and everyone else's, and a waste of our energy and effort that we could spend elsewhere.
Yeah, I want to tie this also back to something I said in the last episode. Before, it would be I have to be in the mood to run the game. If I'm feeling a really off week, let's board game. Where now I would go ahead and run the game. Unless it's a really, really bad week like last week, and I'm just like, no. But for the most part, I think pushing myself forward to run the game is something I wouldn't have necessarily done before all of the missed weeks here and there.
So yeah, at that point, it's like, well, if I don't, then this is never going to happen. So if I want this, I have to push through it. Yeah.
Well, I think it also matters, like, why are you gaming? You know what I mean? Like, there, I think, are, you know, I've been in a bunch of different groups, some of which were storyline based, where it's like, we have this adventure that we're trying to, like, push through to get to the next point, to see, you know, develop the story, see where it's going, you know, what are these characters going to do, let's get to the big bad and then see where it goes on in that. There are other groups that I've been in that are almost basically, it's a social group, and then, oh yeah, some gaming might break out if we're not careful, you know, and then like everything in between. So I think you're right, Dan and Wayne, that if you're going to go ahead and do it, it's probably better to go ahead and push and just say, you know what, screw it, let's do it. And most games, how about, are better than no games.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. The F minuses are not going to be better. But usually, if you're going to go ahead and do it, some fun stuff is going to happen regardless. So it would take, like, I can't even think of a time where I had, like, a D minus F
gaming level ever. At a certain point, you're grading on a curve where it's like,
well, sure, yeah, that's
true. If we were gaming every week, this game would be a fail, but you know what? We're not. Well, okay. So I got to game.
Fair enough. When you got 100 apples, you can choose to throw out the 5 that have little bug marks on them. When you've got 2 apples, you're a little less picky.
Yeah, we're not going to be choosing beggars over here. Yeah. We're gaming, you know, every other month or something.
Yeah, right? I mean, even still, I do think, though, because time is finite, attention is finite, creativity is finite, that you can hit a point where even grading on a curve,
right,
that's still, it's like, still this, not worth this it. Just isn't worth it anymore. We're just wasting our time. We're not having fun. But I think what I have seen is not just that my expectations have come down a bit, but also that I think it's made me experiment a bit more, that I've been willing to try some formats I would not have tried before. One of the things that certainly has become much more common and was already becoming more common in my gaming experience just by coincidence was shorter stories rotating GMs. My preferred style of gaming has always been single GM, long, persistent story, sometimes going literally for years.
Yeah, same.
And I started before COVID doing the West Marches game. And at the time, I think we were playing Blades in the Dark, which had more self-contained stories. And then we were going to rotate the GM. That only partially happened. But these are formats that we normally would have just shot down a priori. We wouldn't have even attempted them.
Well, when I actually look back at it, my whole GMing style of doing 6-month arcs as a campaign is because I just didn't think the long games could reach fruition. I had been gaming so many years and never had a campaign complete.
End, yeah.
And it was
End well.
I was so frustrated. Level 20.
Oh my God, it's a miracle.
I hadn't played D&D at that point.
My character got closure.
Exactly.
He got a cinematic death.
So I guess you could say my whole GM style was learning that to settle for the shorter, but then I realized that's what I like. I like variety. I like having the 6-month arc, you've got your complete story, and now you run another 6 month in either another game, try a new system. And I only learned that because I didn't try for a endless or a 2-year arc game.
And it was one of those things where, for me, like, my default is that long form story game. But I realized fairly recently that the only reason that I think of those as ideal is because I was doing so much gaming when I first got into it that story was happening and we kept coming back to that game. But we would play like one shots and stuff in between because we were gaming every week, possibly more than every week.
There was a time when our immediate gaming group was 4 nights a week.
Yeah.
And it was
so getting, we just had time to do all of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can go through like a storyline if you're doing two or three like adventures, full
sessions or
sessions a week, all of a sudden what would become a 2-year adventure becomes a 4-month adventure real quick. And you're like, you know, you're leveling up, you're going through these, you know, different
things. You hit all your story beats, like you finish a story arc and you're like, cool, let's do something else.
And I think too, you know, right now, Julie and I are in a rotating DM / GM game with a group right now, and there's pros and cons to it, which I'm sure we can talk about here. But to that point, Mary, that your frequency, I think, affects the implicit time that's associated with an adventure. Like 6 months means different things to depending on how, is that a once a week game? Is it every Saturday? Is it bi-weekly? You know what I mean?
I learned that the first time I ran an online campaign. I went from doing a weekly game to that was every other week.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly what would have been 6 months is now going to be over a year.
Yeah. Right.
It is that same length of story, same number of sessions, but instead of being 6 months, that's every other week means it's going to be at least a year.
Well, and the,
before you start missing.
And the more you miss or the less frequently you meet, then everybody's going, okay, well, it's been 6 weeks since we gamed. Yeah. What in the hell was my character doing? Oh, yeah, there was the vampires. Yes,
that's right there.
That's right.
That's the biggest punch in the gut to me is when I'm playing, what I get out of the games is the ability to really explore a character, to really chew on who this person is, where they came from, where they're going, what their story looks like. If I'm GMing, it's the same thing, except now the story is coming from the world. So it's a story of a great many factions or places. It's not a story of one person. But nonetheless, I'm still really trying to sink my teeth into that. And I think the reason that shorter format games used to be so off the table for me was because they don't give me that.
Yeah, you can't world build.
You can't character build very much in a one-sitting, two-sitting, three-sitting game. And you don't even have time to rotate the spotlight around to give everyone any time in there.
Yeah.
And so that really kept me from even giving those styles of gaming much of a chance. And now that I am giving them a chance, I would not say my preferences have changed. I would still prefer a consistent long-term game to what I have now. But I am starting to realize that once I kind of unpuckered a bit on my expectations, that there are some unexpected things in there that I'm enjoying. Wayne, I think, was it you who was commenting? Because I was trying to reset up the room because one of the many fun adventures of our life was I got my roof ripped off not once, not twice, but 3 times. There's currently patches. No, I'm sorry. I'm on 4 now.
I was going to say,
So I'm on number 4 now, and part of the shingling is patched while I wait someone to repair it because we've had some really violent storms in this area this year.
Yeah, that's true.
And, I mean, the one we just had, I realize we're quite inland, but on the appropriate scale, it was a Cat 1 hurricane. I mean, that's how heavy the winds were. So I missed some of the conversation because I was resetting things up, but was it you who was saying that you've come to find that you actually prefer online gaming and stuff?
Not me.
Not you. Okay.
There are a lot of gamers out there.
There's a lot of defense in that.
No.
Put that evil on me, Dan.
Look, man.
I think that went around the table, though. Yeah, it was like,
this is one of my players, okay?
No, there are.
I build bridges.
There are a lot of gamers out in the community, a lot of our listeners even, that at this point don't want to go back to the table. They prefer online for a lot of reasons.
Give me a couple. What are some ones you hear the most often?
They don't have to drive back and forth.
I mean, same reason
they don't have to leave their house. They don't have to
Consistency dress up. Is a big one. Where a couple of my friends who do that online, they're like, we've literally played every week for the last 2 years. Okay. We never miss a session.
So no commute, consistency. Yeah.
Their own snacks at their own house.
Yeah.
They have their own chairs that they're in.
Child care is less of an issue when you're still at home.
Yeah.
True.
Now, I've heard a lot of them. And some people really love the virtual tabletop. And some of, like, the light shadings, the automations that are in there.
Yeah, the
kind of
stuff. And the,
in my case, I've had fun doing online campaigns. I enjoy playing in them. I don't like running an online game as much because I get energy from the players around the table.
Yes.
And I'm missing that when I run it online.
Man, I think my two big issues with online gaming, one is, same as you, Wayne, there's a lack of that, excuse the buzzword here, was lack of synergy which I think is a portmanteau of sympathetic energy.
I think.
It is the same thing for me in that I am not a sports guy, but I can go to a Cardinals game and have a ball because the energy of the people around me is something that will raise me up to that level. I get the same thing out of gaming when there's people at the table.
Yeah.
I don't online.
Well, like I said, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, why are you gaming? Are you gaming for the camaraderie and like social aspect of it? If that is more of your focus, that's definitely, I would say, more of a concern for people if you're going online, because I've run games online, I've played games online, and you're right. It's just, it hits different. It really does. If you're going for like, you know, hey, I'm just like trying to roll dice and like do all my stuff that, you know, is like the game mechanic stuff, then I kind of think that people feel the same way they do about it. I mean, I work from home. And as soon as my boss, the owner, was like, hey, we're thinking about going back to the office, the entire company mutinied instantly. And we were like, no, we are not. And then he was like, but I have this nice office space. And we were like, we don't give a shit about that. I live 40 minutes from work. Go jump. You know what I mean? And I think that there is an aspect to that. And it's like, do what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Well, the opposite can also sort of be true, where it's like, if your fun stuff starts becoming like work, then, you know what I'm saying? Like, then it starts to have like, you know, we've already kind of danced around it in a couple of ways already in this conversation. What are we doing it for? Is it like, oh, no one ever games and blah, 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 and I don't really feel like gaming tonight, but we said we were going to, and nobody can do anything for like another 3 weeks, so I guess I'll just push through and do it. That sucks ass. Like, you should never feel that way about something that's supposed to be a game and fun.
Yeah, well, creatures you know a habit, though. I think some of that is a loathing of the game, but I think some of that's just
human obligations.
Resisting
the obligation itself.
Yeah, what comedian? Was it Mulvaney you were quoting who said?
Yeah, it's like nothing's better than canceling plans. It's like heroin because it hits like immediately.
I'm free. Everything feels better. I can do my night is mine to do whatever somebody else wants me to do now.
That's true.
I mean, let's be real here. But which actually kind of ties, I guess, a little bit into the second reason why I personally am still not a fan of online games. Which is all those great upshots of you're at home, you can take care of the kids, you can interact with your significant other, you know, you don't have to commute, all that stuff also makes it a bit too easy to be distracted if people don't take the time seriously.
And I
think one of my biggest issues with online gaming is the fact that I got disrespected so badly in my first couple of online games that I was trying to run. Wayne knows these stories.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, have you told these already before? Because I'm interested.
One of my players was getting serviced during the game.
And the cable was out?
Yeah. Sure, let's go with that. Yes. The cable was down. And so... And that was just one player. It was across the board. There was like 6-7 players. I don't remember what it was.
Getting serviced?
No. But I mean, there was like
what
one
gaming group. Are
but there was like one, everyone signs up for Dan's game.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I gotta join this group.
But there was like one or two that were actually playing. And one was the worst offender. But then there were other ones that were just alt-tabbed. They were doing something. And it wasn't like the game bombed and they checked out. That was how it was from the word go. That's how it started.
So one of the ways I address that with me when I'm playing in an online game is I treat it like I'm working. I go down to the basement where I have my setup that is separate of the rest of the house. I am going to it. It's just in the basement. And that way I don't have the people walking in. I don't have the animal distractions, things like that. I game in a separate space than where I go upstairs to just watch TV and stuff.
Yeah, I will say gaming online got a lot easier when I finally set up an office in the basement. Not for work, just for, you know, setting up a separate space where I could go and be out of the way of everything.
One of the common complaints I've seen levied by, like, employers and stuff since, you know, obviously COVID forced everyone's hand. It just forced them, right? And then, like, my work, where we basically just said, hey, we like this for all of the benefits that we've been talking about, not having to commute and all that stuff, that the employers complain about that a lot of these kinds of things we're talking about. Distractions, people not taking it seriously, their productivity might drop, whatever it is. And at risk of, like, defending them in some way, I have to say that there is a pro to going and actually gaming at somebody's house or going at a location doing mm-hmm. it, because it does feel like more of an occasion, I guess, is the best way I could put it. Yes. Like,
and it's an event and it's a commitment.
It feels like more of a commitment. That's true.
There is also an element of communication that is lost. Even if you're doing video, it's still through a screen.
Yeah.
Without having people present, it's a lot. There's just something missing in like those human interactions that are harder to gauge.
Yeah, and there's nuance and facial stuff.
And it's less fulfilling in one sense, and it's less communicative in another, and it's just harder to get the full experience.
I know there is probably a huge list of reasons why people prefer it. None of us are those people, so we're not going to give good examples. We're only going to give what we've heard.
Well, I mean, I think those examples that you gave are accurate. They just don't necessarily apply to us rationally.
I think there are also some people that are just really taken in by the technology of it.
Yeah.
The virtual tabletop stuff, the increasing tool set available. And I have a lot of thoughts on that that I've been swirling away, especially now that I'm playing with some things like Arkhenforge. And we'll save those for a different episode, because that would be an hour, maybe 2 hours unto itself. But I think some people just enjoy the availability of technology. Certainly, since we started doing this show, even things like broadband internet have made it possible to have video conversations, to see each other's faces, to have at least some degree of social interaction, even if still by a degree of separation that wasn't possible way back in the early days of play-by-post stuff.
I mean, if it was the choice between is going for like a Zoom, you know, video meeting game with something like a virtual tabletop, is it my personal ideal? No, but if we had our normal gaming session and, you know, something happened, like, you know, you dealt with the stuff at your house where you had this, you know, big thing where you couldn't record here for a while, or, you know, had these difficulties, we can't play there anymore or whatever, I would much rather say, hey, let's just do an online session this week instead of cancel the game.
Well, that was, you know what I mean? in my case, and I haven't, this group hasn't been gaming for a while, not just for a lot of other problems. We've tried retooling stuff and it just still hasn't restarted. But I was in a game that would met in person for, we had one person in Ohio who would like video in, but everybody else was sitting around the same table. And then pandemic. And it was one of those cases of lowering expectations to be able to still game, where we moved to online because we had to.
Yeah, make do.
Because our DM lived in Festus and it's quite a drive, Ryan, when you're not, like, leaving your house becomes that much more of a problem.
So you really hit on one of the reasons I've heard that I can understand.
Yeah.
Distance. And that
distance. Yeah. Particularly if you like a certain kind of game and you can't find people around you to game that type of game, then you have the opportunity. There's a whole internet of people where you can find people that want to play your exact game. Yes. You can be pickier on the type of game that you're running and the type of game that you're playing.
Just because you have a broader base of people to draw from.
I mean,
from,
and not even a broader base, any base. Like, everything that we do anymore obviously is tied to the internet, but even the things that are almost, in the past, were 100% in-person social stuff, dating, job interviews, everything. Julie works in California. We are in St. Louis, Missouri. That just wasn't even a thing, you know, unless somebody was like, oh, I spend half my life on an airplane or a train or something like that. So, like, why would gaming be any different? Like, to your point, Wayne, if you were like, hey, how am I even going to meet people in the first place to game? Not even my specific thing, but, like, how do you get gaming groups? My first gaming group was the kids in my neighborhood. That's, you know what I mean? Like, they were my friends that I played with anyway, and we all said, hey, let's game. You know,
if I want to run a superheroes game, for example, my pool of people could be anyone out there that wants to play a superhero game in the style that I want, not anyone that wants to play a superhero game in the style I want that happens to be within driving distance of me.
No, I mean, it's true.
There's a truth that we're kind of circling around here that I want to hit directly, which is this is not a new thing.
No,
this is new to us. And let me explain what I mean by that. I always say, let me explain, like someone's going to stop me.
No, you can't talk on your own podcast. Yeah. We refuse to let you.
It's just, it's one of those verbal, what's the name for this? Just like those verbal tics.
Yeah.
There's a name for them. I can't think what it is. But anyway, the point being, though, that one of the most common bits of communication we have gotten in all throughout the history of doing the show is people that say that what they appreciate about our show or shows like it is it gives them that feeling of having a group of friends that they're connecting with, that they're talking about gaming with, whatever, because their story basically boils down to something like, they move to a new town and can't find any gamers there, or the people that they were gaming with for all these years all moved away, or had kids and their lives went crazy.
Or they live in a town that's too small to literally have any other gamers.
Precisely.
We live in the Midwest. This is the mecca of gaming.
Yeah, it is. No, it is.
Well, but yeah, because there's nothing else to do here.
But if you move outside of the big cities, then you've got a lot of distance between your gamers.
But I mean, like, Brodor moved somewhere where he doesn't have anyone around him that games. Well, like, and he's having a problem finding local game shops around him.
Well, like I said, I was driving 45 minutes one way for a game just because that's as close as the GM was, and I was willing to do it.
And it's always the same. I mean, the online games, it doesn't really matter if you're talking about a video game or, like, you know, role-playing games or whatever like that, the benefits are the same, right? It's the same reason that, you know, we're typically probably older than a lot of the listenership, I would guess, but, like, if it didn't have a controller that reached from your hand to the to the PS1 or the Nintendo 64 or whatever you're playing on...
And God forbid somebody come along and trip over it and rip it out of the machine.
I mean, that's how you multiplayed anything before, like, 2003. You know what I mean? Outside of, like, you know, I don't know what, EverQuest was probably the first biggest one that probably most people got their hands on.
Yeah, Meridian was before EverQuest, but not many people even know.
So, like, back in the 90s, I did some online gaming with a friend, and it would be a case of, you call up, you figure out the time. Okay, I'm going to dial at this time.
Right.
Tell your grandpa not to answer the phone when it rings.
I'm going to be on blizzard.net battle.net in, like, you know, an hour.
No, this was even before that. This was in the game. I would put his phone number in, my computer would call his house, and his computer would answer.
I mean, it's the same. I mean, but the benefits and the costs are, I think, similar.
Yeah.
You know, playing online, Call of Duty, Final Fantasy, whatever it is that you're playing online it has the benefits that we're talking about. You can play with anybody around the world. You can have all this interaction that you normally wouldn't be able to. And even if you are living in a super small town, Mary, like you said, it doesn't matter because you can do all this stuff. But is it the same as jostling with your friend on the couch with controllers?
No, it's really not.
Is it better or worse?
But I just find it interesting to be on the opposite side of this equation, because a problem that used to be everyone else's problem now come home to roost. And I'm sure that's not just true of us. Well, I know it's not just true of us from having talked to people at the convention and such, that this is something that more people are experiencing, is that sudden collapse of the social infrastructure that used to surround gaming, that just the world changed.
Yeah.
And, okay, some of that may just be our perspective because we're getting older, whatever. But no, I think it is very measurable to look out there and say, you can quantify the world
Walmart
has
changed.
The Walmart
is no longer open 24 hours. Yes. Things have changed.
Yeah, things have changed. And I there was an Applebee's that I used to go to if I just needed, like, to get out of the house, have a beer, and just, you know, whatever, just kind of chill out. And they were open until, like, 1 a.m. Now they close
1 a.m. Applebee's beer is the saddest beer on earth.
Oh, look, I'm not saying this is a proud part of my life.
Okay, all right.
I'm not asking for this on a plaque.
If the theme is lowered expectations, I don't know where you go from that, buddy.
Oh, I'll tell you where you go from that. Then the Applebee's can't keep enough staff to staff around those hours, and now they close at 8.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now you got to get your last call at Applebee's at 7:45. That's how you go lower. You think
7:45 in a weird way is a sadder last call than 9 a.m. in some way.
And so there you go. That's the lower. But this is an issue that, once again, we have gotten so much communication on over the years. And now it's gone from being a relatively smaller percentage, I won't say small, but a smaller percentage of the hobby, these orphan gamers, to now, I think that's become something of a mainstream experience. I would
define that. Define that, what you mean by orphan gamer.
What I mean by an orphan gamer is a gamer who at one point had a solid gaming group, but because of something that changed in their life or the world, they don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone moved. They moved. Somebody died. People, just their lives changed. They had kids. They got jobs. They got married, whatever.
So as long as somebody, you wouldn't include somebody who is maybe physically isolated. They are in a small town, doesn't have a gaming group, whatever like that, but they're still doing this online or, you know...
Well, no, I'm not including them in the phrase orphan gamer because of the fact that they were always on the outside. And that's not to say that their plight doesn't matter, but it's just to say that I'm not including them in this particular category. Those would not be people who had it and then lost it.
Right.
As these would be people that never had it in the first place, and they had one set of issues of now we're seeing what used to be, I mean, it's not a tiny percentage of people, but I would say south of 50% of gamers having been orphaned, where they once upon a time had a consistent available gaming group, to now it seems that that feels at least, and there's no statistics.
Or permanently orphaned.
It feels
where it's one of those where you can't rebuild a group like that.
Yeah, or certainly it feels like you can't.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Well, here's an interesting experience like, going forward, Dan.
Yeah.
Think about it like this. I know a guy that when I first did any online gaming, this was a long time ago, and it's because everybody was all over the country. We weren't together. We had a friend who had never gamed, and he joined us for a superhero game. It was the AP, the Knights of Rainsborough.
Okay.
He had never gamed in person until he came to a Fear the Con. He had been gaming for 3 to 4 years, strictly online.
Yeah.
Until coming to Fear the Con for the first time at a table.
Yeah,
Gabe.
Shameless plug for the con.
We're going to have people now with this new generation that have never had that at the table.
Yeah, experience. Don't get me wrong. These people are about to be rock stars because they're preppers and the nukes just went off. So these are people that are already accustomed to this lifestyle, right?
We're going to have new gamers that have never experienced. They joined gaming groups during COVID or post-COVID and have never known what it is like to game at the table.
That's fair. Or people that maybe came into the hobby through one of the like larger online. And so maybe that's where they got their start, was through an online community.
What about, so we kind of preface this with like, lower your expectations.
Yeah.
I would almost disagree with that and say different expectations.
Yeah.
We've obviously, you know, been discussing this, like there's pros and cons and benefits and, you know, pitfalls and things like that, you know, about gaming in real life, gaming online, doing whatever.
It's like you put it, what do you game for? What is important to you?
Yeah.
It is not a lowered expectation if by gaming online, you get to play the type of game that you want and you couldn't do it in person. If that type of game is more important to you than the around the table with people,
sure.
You're not lowering your expectations.
Yeah.
You're raising them
to
game online.
And maybe, and maybe the reason I'm choosing to call it lowered expectations is because of the fact that it feels lowered to me. It's not what I wanted or have been accustomed to, and therefore to stray from it. I think because I've enjoyed it so much, I'm clinging on to it in a way that not necessarily everyone else would.
Well, yeah.
So for me, it does feel like giving up a certain amount of expectation or giving up a certain amount.
Like you're settling for when you really want to do it in person.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it feels like lowered standards.
And you still have the contrast where it's like you do sit down at a table finally and it does hit in a different way that is better than what you've had online.
Yeah.
It is lowered because you're like, I know that I'm missing something online. I still get to game, but I know that when I sit back down at the table and get to roll dice with other people, it does feel better.
What is important about gaming to you is something that you have to give up to do online or play these shorter other types of games.
Yeah.
You do have to lower your expectation for this, where other people that might not be lowering their expectation because what they're getting out of the game is something different.
Yeah. I was going to say that's you nailed that, I think, because I was just about to say that we had talked about the rotating GMs as another version of, like, you know, maybe lowering expectations about not being able to do your big, long, you know, year campaign or whatever it is. I don't want, you know, get too far onto like the whole online versus in person thing as like lowered versus different expectations. But I will say that we're in this game right now where we're rotating different GMs every couple of weeks whenever we play because we're older, we all have kids, and we've got jobs, and we just don't have the free time to do
it
every week.
And your group has a very different, like, your levels of experience in gaming are vastly different among the people who are taking up that GM position.
That's true, and it's three couples. It's me and Julie, and it's two other couples in our friends group. So we kind of lean on each other a bit. I've got I would call it medium GM, DM level of experience. Julie has probably less than I do, but she's got a lot of player experience. So, I mean, she's good. We have a mix of the other two where they have, you know, more experienced partner and then a less experienced partner. And everybody's just kind of there. We want to get an excuse to get together and hang out and have fun. And because it's the focus is social and it's in person and we don't really... We honestly sort of, it sounds f***ed up to say, but I don't really care about the game. Like, if my character died, I would be like that meme of Loki where it's like, oh, no. Anyway, you know, like, I just don't really, you know, it would be, oh, I put 5 minutes of thought into my dungeon crawling character. Oh, no, he's dead. You know, you were talking about earlier, I'm not there for a storyline. I'm not there to grind and mini-max and, like, get to this level. I want to get this equipment or these magical things or whatever. I don't care about that. We just don't get to hang out as a group very often, and a gaming group is an excuse to do that. And it's not every week, you know, where it's the same six people sitting around every single week, but it's like, oh, hey, in 3 weeks we're going to go to, you know, so-and-so's house, and it'll be an excuse to order pizza and hang out and talk and chat and catch up, and then also some gaming might happen while we're there.
And
you know?
Sometimes I'm in the mood for that. Sometimes I'm in the mood for exploring a character and building a really good story. It really depends, and I think that that's the case as well, of realizing what you want. What you want can change over time.
What you want can also change on who you're doing it with. But depending on, like, if you're playing a game with a bunch of people who are like, we're in this for the hack and slash, we're in this for the fun combat, like, what can we kill? Right
now. Yeah.
And you're like, well, nobody else here is going to care There's about no my voices. Character development, so I'm going to put that part of me aside because I know I'm not going to, no matter what I do, I'm not going to get that enjoyment with these people, so that's fine. I know that going in.
Well, and like the game that we're in, we're set up like that, but because of the nature of the game, we went into it open-eyed like right. that. I mean, we literally agreed, we're like, hey, who would be into like a every 4 to 6 weeks a dungeon crawl? And everybody's like, that sounds fun. So it's like nobody went in going like, I have 6 pages of backstory and I have a fun accent that I've been practicing.
I am playing and Hamlet.
Yeah, no, no one did that. Like, everybody knew, you knew what this was. This is the gaming equivalent of a one-night stand, you know, friends with benefits kind of situation. This is not a long-term relationship, you know? Like, we're not, there's change on the dresser, okay? That is this gaming group, okay? And everybody went into it. We're all adults here. We all knew what this was.
Yeah.
So it's like, again, I think if you're to what you're saying,
until
Mary,
someone catches feelings for their character.
Don't catch feelings.
Someone catches plot.
No. We're our George Martin in this shit. You're out of there. You know.
Are you getting character development? We agreed there'd be no character development here.
Why should I call an Uber when you can drive me?
Yeah, like, that's maybe what we need to do is for, like, set up informal gaming. Like, it's like a Tinder app, but for, like, wayward gamers, you know? It's just like, I just need a quick fix. I got an orc built and everything. Come on, baby. You know what this is, you know? But it is. I mean, is it lowered expectations? Well, what were your expectations before? That's the key. If you were going for something story-driven, you want to bite into that character and really, you know, chew on it, like you said earlier, Dan, then yeah, it's lowered because you're like, oh, this is a hack and slash. But if you're like, I just want to huck some dice and eat some junk food, hang out with my friends, then that's an amazing night. It's not a lowered expectation.
Right.
Yeah. It's a different expectation. I think going in eyes open is the key, regardless if it's online, if it's a rotating short format game, if it's big, long, whatever it is, going in knowing what your expectations
informed
need to be.
Informed consent.
I'm sure.
I mean, we could make a whole bunch like really debauched apps for this. Like, we could make like an Ashley Madison style one. Like, if you're gaming with one group, but they won't ever game a particular setting or system or style.
God help you if
just
your DM
need something
finds
on the
you.
Side.
Yeah, we'll help you find some side action with a gaming group that'll play what you want.
Dan, why did I find you on Gary Gygax? What the...
on AshleyArneson.com. All right, I think that's where we're going to end this one. I don't know if there's going to be much in the show notes outside of a handful of timestamps. So, as always, just have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time. This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2023. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.